Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Balance Point. Oh, wow, what a wonderful, glorious day that God has given us today. And we are, we're actually attempting to get live. There we go. Alrighty. Hallelujah, we're actually live on all of our streams. Praise the Lord. You know, a wonderful thing about Balance Point is that we are a church that comes to you wherever you are. The not so wonderful thing about Balance Point is we rely on technology in order to come to you wherever you are. But anyway, welcome to Balance Point. Before we get started, we're just gonna go through a couple of small announcements. As you may have noticed, that we've started the teaching lesson at 7:30. Our streams are now starting at 7:30 on Sunday and on Thursday. And the reason that we've done this is because we're moving away from centralized worship. And so each and every Balance Point site is going to be doing their own worship service and communion. And then they will all join us for the streams. And I have to tell you, that worked out really beautifully, and we are having some serious connection issues right now, so I don't know, this may end up being a case of I do not have internet access. Well, let's do this. We're having to switch our internet access around just a little bit. And we seem to have dropped offline. So let's see if I can get, oh, that's bad. We have to apologize for this. At the moment, we are having some network difficulty. And so we are attempting to get our network back together. I don't even know whether we are live, but we are going to find out real soon here. It shows live on one stream, shows live on the other stream. Okay, well, again, welcome to Balance Point. Again, as I was saying, before our network decided to go away, we are moving to having each local community that's part of the Balance Point family do their own praise and worship and their own communion service. And so those services will start a half hour before the stream. If you are in a local area where there may be a Balance Point community, you can, you know, as we locate where all these communities are, we'll be posting their locations in the ministry center. And the idea is, if you're local to one of those communities, we invite you to come and join in the worship service at that community. And then each community will be joining us for the live stream. Oh, alrighty. Upcoming events, of course, we have our Holy Thursday service, where we will commemorate the death of our Lord and Savior on the cross. And then, of course, coming up in just, I believe it's just four more Sundays, we have our Easter service, our resurrection celebration, where we will be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you will not want to miss that. If you don't have a church home that you're going to be going to, and you're going to be joining us, we actually invite somebody to come and join you on the stream. There's going to be a message that's going to be given that it's going to be a message of hope, the message of joy. And that's coming up at our Easter service. With that in mind, and with the announcements out of the way, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, this morning, this afternoon, with just gratitude and praise. Father God, we just open ourselves to receive your word. And we just thank you that you have not left us as orphans without direction. But rather, You have provided your word to us. So, Father God, have your way with this evening. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Job. Yes, rather unusual. We are going to be looking at and continuing what I did not realize would end up being a series until I started working on the message for this week. We're continuing our series on false religions and false philosophies. Or another way of putting it, kind of common sense things that can cause you to get hung up, that can cause you to get messed up. And so last week we kind of introduced this idea of the false religion, false philosophy. And today we're going to look at one of the manifestations of the false philosophy. And we are actually going to also head on look at a false philosophy that often creeps up within the family of Christ. And so we're going to put in at Job chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 7. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or were the upright destroyed. According to what I have seen, those that plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvested. I want to take a stop right here. Here is one of those kind of, it seems common sense, and yet it's not necessarily true. And it goes something like this. Well, if you were truly as holy as you say you are, if you were truly as forgiven as you claim to be, then bad things would not happen to you. See, the reason bad things are happening to you is you just aren't holy enough. You just aren't worthy enough. But that's not true. In fact, if we backed up two chapters to the beginning of the book of Job, we will find God actually bragging on Job. When the angels came around to give their reports of what they had been doing, God, you know, Satan was among the angels there. And God says to Satan, this is God bragging, have you considered my servant Job? Now, this in itself is mind-blowing. Think about this. God brags on his people. When God is pleased with you, up in heaven, on his throne, the creator of the universe is saying, have you considered my son? Have you considered my daughter? Some of us have never had somebody bragging on us. Maybe we grew up in a critical family. Maybe you have critical relationships. And yet, when you come to the Lord, Lord is up there in heaven going, have you considered my child? I want you to think about that. That's mind-blowing. The fact that God, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the earth, brags on his children. In other words, and the reason why I brought this up is because if God is for you, who can be against, as the Apostle Paul puts it? In other words, if bad things are happening, it ain't God that's necessarily causing it. it isn't God who's necessarily being the one that's causing the issue. And so it is a fallacy to say that if something's going wrong, that it is necessarily God. True, it may be that we are reaping what we've sown, but in the case of Job, that wasn't the case. You see, before we can make a statement like that your troubles are caused by the fact that, you know, you've done something bad, isn't necessarily true. In fact, Jesus himself says of his disciples, of the people who are going to be following him, of the people who will eventually, most of them, give their lives for him, Jesus himself tells his disciples, in this world, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulation. But look up, because I've overcome the world. So you see, just because you're having troubles doesn't necessarily mean that you've done something wrong. And therein is the fallacy. Therein is the fallacy that we find here in Job. And therein is the fallacy that we find in a lot of churches. There are a lot of places that one can go to worship where you are specifically told, if you are good enough, God will protect you and keep you from all these things that are happening around in the world. And that's not necessarily true. Sometimes God will let us go through stuff so that those who go through the stuff after us can have somebody to follow. Sometimes God leads us through the minefield so that the folks coming behind us can have footprints to step in as they go through a similar minefield. So there is a sense in which that this is an incorrect thing. There is a sense in which this is untrue, that just because you're going through something bad doesn't necessarily mean that you've done something to be bad. And that's the fallacy. Job chapter 4, the fallacy that innocent do not suffer. The second place where we can fall into the trap of bad philosophy, the trap of bad theology, is the idea of following human tradition. Now, don't get me wrong. Human tradition is good to a point. Human tradition is good in that it gives us certain patterns. Often, human tradition is based on certain principles. But when human tradition takes the place of using the 3 pounds of stuff up here in your head that God gave you, and takes the place of the Word of God, takes the place of hearing the whisper of God's Spirit, it can lead you astray. It can lead us astray. Human tradition is not infallible. It's helpful. But where human tradition conflicts with the Word of God, where human tradition conflicts with observed, repeatable reality, then we must discard that human tradition. In another part of the book of Job, Job's friends appeal to the wisdom of the old ones. And that's an appeal to human tradition, human knowledge, in saying that the old ones will teach. But hey, I don't know about you, but I've met a few old people that, trust me, I don't want to learn from. Unless, of course, they've learned from their mistakes, and as you see that they've gotten older, that they have changed from those ways that got them to the place that they're at. Jesus puts it this way. Before you accept the wisdom of man, you need to check the fruit on the tree. You will know a tree by its fruit. A good tree will bear good fruit. A bad tree will bear bad fruit. Thorns and thistles cannot bear grapes. In other words, check the fruit of the tradition. Is it a tradition that is moving us more towards God? Is it a tradition that is moving us more towards the potential that God has put into us? Is it a tradition that's moving us closer in love with our relationship? Is it a tradition that's moving us closer to alleviating poverty and sickness in this world? Or is it a tradition that says, me first, me first, me first? Where is that tradition going? We need to be aware of that. We need to think through the things that are called common sense. Because sometimes common sense can lead you down a path that you don't want to go it down. And so human tradition. Another philosophy of man that can trip us up and can actually make it difficult for us to, you know, follow the path of God, follow the path of righteousness, follow the path that leads towards helping others to grow and helping ourselves to grow, is the philosophy of utilitarianism. Utilitarianism. What's utilitarianism? Well, it's basically just this. The ends justify the means. The ends justify the means. I happen to be a big science fiction kind of nerd, and unlike a lot of science fiction nerds who either fall into the Star Trek versus Star Wars nerdism, I'm equally nerdy. But that philosophy is summed up kind of in the philosophy of Mr. Spock. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. In other words, do what's necessary to advance the needs of the many. And on the surface, that sounds so good. The problem is that utilitarianism carried too far. Utilitarianism improperly applied has led to some of the most horrific things in human history. If you really dig under the whole deal with Nazis, it was a utilitarian philosophy. The needs of the Aryan race outweigh the needs of the Jews, outweigh the needs of the Roma people, outweigh the needs of the, you know, if you were in Nazi Germany and you were gay, that was a death sentence. Outweigh all of that. The answer to utilitarianism is love. Not the kind of love that you know we see on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Not the kind of love that says, hey, I'm doing nothing, you're doing nothing, let's sit on the couch and do nothing together on a Sunday evening. But the kind of love that seeks the greatest potential for the other person. The kind of love that says, I'm willing to take part of my life and seek out your greatest good. The greatest example of that kind of love was the Father. Most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him might not perish. That's a great love. As a dad, I don't know if I would be willing to give up my kid for the rest of the world. But even more amazing, and I find this amazing, I find this thoroughly amazing, and it just kind of makes my heart go woof when I think about this. The Father gave up the Son, but we're told in Philippians that Jesus, not thinking it robbery, in other words, Jesus, who's already God, Jesus, who already was in glory, emptied himself to become obedient, to become man, and to become obedient even to death, death on the cross. The Father gave up the Son, and the Son gave up everything. That is the answer. That is the rebuttal to utilitarianism. That is how we achieve the goal of utilitarianism with none of the downside. My question is, are we willing, as men and women who follow Christ, are we willing to set aside our good for the good of another? Are we willing to go outside the four walls and the doors of our churches and follow the example of God? You know, for the last year and a half, I've had this phrase, God is a God of dirty hands. We serve a God who gets his hands dirty. I'm going to repeat it again. God said, let there be. And all this stuff was. But when he came to man, he said, let us make. And then he formed man out of the dust of the earth. Now, I wasn't there, so I didn't get to see how he formed us. But I could imagine that God, using whatever passes for hands for God, using that godness that would be his hands, and actually sticking his fingers in the dirt and forming us. And then God breathed into us. You know, Genesis says that God put the breath of life into all the animals on the land. But it is only with man that God breathed into us. And then God did the ultimate in getting his hands dirty when he became a man. And he was born in a dirty, smelly barn in the middle of nowhere in the Middle East. And then he stretched out his arms on the cross. The ultimate in getting his hands dirty. Are we willing to follow that example? If we're Christ followers, that means that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. If we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, then we should be doing the things that Jesus did. Are we caring for the widow and the orphan? Are we sharing the good news that, hey, God loves you? God cares for you? God desires to be with you? Are we carrying the message that God is in heaven looking down at you and going, hey, have you considered this person? That is true faith. That's true faith. True faith rejects the idea that there is a God out there, he spun everything up, and now he's off on vacation. True faith rejects the idea that you do whatever's necessary to get the result. True faith rejects the idea that only bad things only happen to bad people. True faith embraces the fact that, yes, we do live in a fallen world. We do live in a world that's messed up. Or as my friends from the hood would say, we live in a world that's been toe up from the flow up. But we also, true faith also embraces the reality that there's a God who loves to fix the messed up. That there is a God who loves to reach out to the sinner and says, yes, I hate your sin, but I love you enough to clean you from it. I hate what the system of the world has done to limit your potential, to limit your life, to limit your joy. And I, the Creator, am stepping in to correct that. You see, that's true faith. True faith is simply trusting. If you're sitting on a chair watching this, I want to ask you, before you sat on that chair, did you know 100% certain that that chair would hold you up? Did you know that no one, before you sat on the chair where you're sitting, did you know that whether anybody had messed with it may have taken the screws out? Did you know whether there had been maybe some termites chewing on one of the legs on the inside? No. You sat on the chair because you knew trial after trial, that chair would hold you up. Trusting in God is not a leap of faith. Trusting that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and my sins, and then rose again, is not a leap of faith. It's the same level of faith that it took for you to sit in that chair. The same level. Where it says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. I've been growing a garden. I know what a mustard seed looks like. Let me tell you, them little suckers is tiny. God's saying, all you need is tiny little faith. You don't need big faith. You don't need faith like this. You need little tiny faith. That's all you need. And so how do we exercise this faith? I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with an invitation. If you have never, ever trusted that your sin has been dealt with, today is the day that you can get that right. If you have never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus, if you've never had a relationship with God the Father because you were afraid that as soon as you came to him, he was going to pull out, to use the term of my gamer friends, he's going to pull out the ban stick and permaban you. Let me tell you something. We serve a God that doesn't permaban. Not willingly, at least. And all it takes is trust. The word tells us that if we would confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God rose him from the dead, you shall be saved. Confession. I've just used Christianese. Let me break it down for you. Confession is very simple. Confession comes from the Greek, homologeo, to say the same thing as. We're going to say the same thing about ourselves that God has said about us. What has God said about us? First thing he said, he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Second thing he said, we messed up. We sin. We blow it. And because we messed up, we can't experience life with God in this life or in the life to come. We can't afford to pay the debt from the messing up that we've done. Last but not least, Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. So if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus, or maybe at one point you walked with God, but then you walked away. Today's the day and you're the person. You'll make the choice, but God will make the change. If you will bow your heart with me and you will pray this and believe it, you will be saved. Father God, thank you for loving me. Father, I know that I fall short. I make mistakes. I more than make mistakes. I willingly do things wrong. And because of that, we're separated. Father, forgive me, not because of my goodness, but because of the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, become the Lord of my life. Send your Holy Spirit that I might live a life pleasing to you. Thank you for paying the debt that I could not pay, and giving me the life that I cannot earn. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. Now, unfortunately, if you are on the Facebook stream, I've yet to figure out a way to get that Facebook stream to actually do something really nice, like give me all of my graphics. So you'll just have to listen real carefully. We would like to hear from you. And contacting us is very easy. You can email us. We have an email address that I monitor. It's staff@balance-point.org. That's our church email address. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our Facebook page, which is located at balance, full stop or period, point CC. Stands for Balance Point Christian Church. Balance, full stop, point, word point, CC. If you're watching this on the post recording on our YouTube channel, you can message us through YouTube. You're already on our YouTube page. It's the Balance Point Church page. You can also message us on Google Plus. Same thing, Balance Point Church. Last but not least, many of you will listen to this on audio. We love receiving letters and hearing from people who are being touched by the teaching here at Balance Point. You can mail us at Balance Point Church at 1998 East O-R-I-S, that's Oris, O-R-I-S, Street. We're located in Willowbrook, California, United States, 90222. We would love to hear from you. We also would love to give you an invitation. And here is the invitation that we would love to extend. We believe that you should be plugged into a church. It should be a local church. Balance Point, we have Balance Point communities and affiliate groups literally all over the place. Last time I checked, We had affiliate groups where the Balance Point message was being spread literally, I think we're up to like 40 current countries. That means that there is probably a Balance Point community somewhere near you. We invite you to contact us by going to our ministry center at balance-point.org. That's balance-point.org. Contact us. If we don't have a Balance Point community in your area, we have relationships with many, many, many pastors, and we can plug you into a local church. If you're in the LA area, you're welcome to come and worship with us on Thursdays and Sundays. And again, just contact us and we will get you the information. We don't just post information because where we're located, we're actually located as part of a house church. And the parking in the area will challenge the patience of even the greatest saint. And so we generally like to, we hate to, but we do limit how many people can come to the live service for that very reason, because just flat out, the parking is not well. Anyway, this is Balance Point, and prepare to receive the blessing. May our God and Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this week as you go forth in faith to love and serve the Lord through acts of kindness, through worship, and through reading of the Word, until the Lord brings us together again. May God richly bless you. Amen. Until Thursday.